Definitely desire and interest in your prayers this evening. We want the Lord to be on display. We want His Word to be at the forefront of everything that we do, because it is His Word that has the ability to transform us and to cut down to all the things that would confuse and hinder and distract and get in the way. And it gets, as it says, it cuts through the joint and the marrow and right down to the heart of really what's going on. And we desire tonight to hear from the Lord and to hear what His Word has to say. I am fully persuaded that each of us here tonight, whether you be in person or online, you have a sincere desire to make heaven your home. And I agree with that desire, and I share that desire. My hope and my expectation is, by the help of the Lord, to make heaven my home. As I said the other night, I'm a competitive individual, and I don't enter into things expecting to lose. And I have found that the Lord is the greatest team to be on, because He leads us from victory unto victory, and He should give us an understanding that as we walk through life day by day, that we know where we're going. We, as the apostle said, he says, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. And so we know that we wake each and every day, that we know where we're headed, we know the end that we have in place, and we know that in the process between now and then, that we do in fact have a helper, an advocate, one that intercedes on our behalf. I'm thinking tonight about that advocate, and I think about how the Lord advocates for us. You remember when Stephen was being stoned? Yes. You ever pay special note to the position of Christ in that story? I shouldn't even say story, in that recollection of an event that happened. It's not a story. It's a real event. But what you see is a loving Savior that was so touched that it caused Him to stand up. And there's a sense of authority and power that comes with that. Him rising up, and He's touched, and He's acquainted with the things that touch our lives. And I want to remind us of this tonight, that the Lord is acquainted with the things that do touch our lives. By the help of the Lord tonight, we want to talk a little bit about the path to peace. Sometimes we yearn for that peace and we long for it, and the enemy likes to come along and disturb it. And I believe there are things that happen along the way. I think there are some things that we do to help the enemy and hinder our own peace that God desires for us. And we want to, by the help of the Lord, to talk about that tonight. I'd shared this thought at home, and I'm one of those preachers, I don't like to preach the same thing twice. But I felt like the Lord just would not turn loose of it. And so I've asked the Lord, and I've sought Him, and I've begged Him to have a fresh anointing upon this. And so we want to ask the Lord to do that tonight. And we want to begin by reading in the 46th Psalm, a very familiar Psalm, but it's one that of many Psalms that talk to us a little bit about who our God is and what it is that He desires to give unto His people, and what He does to bring that to pass. So we read here in Psalm 46 and 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. And I think about this, and again, I want to remind us that as we read some scriptures, you know, it's important sometimes to stop as you're reading scripture, when you're studying it rather, to consider the fact that these were people just like you. Yeah. They had real emotions. They lived life. They experienced things and other people. And it's sometimes so easy just to read over something and just say, well, yeah, that's a nice thought. That's wonderful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. But to understand, what did it take? What did this person go through to come to this revelation? To come to this understanding? And it's then as we start to meditate upon those things and seek the Lord that the Lord starts to open our understanding. That as we read these kinds of things, we get an understanding and realize that they were not just walking around and everything was sunshine and rainbows, and everywhere they walked, the birds flew along beside them and sang their favorite song, but rather they lived life, they had experiences just like we do, and they went through some things, but they came to this conclusion here that God is a strength and He is our refuge. He is a place that we go to when things in life aren't going as we would have them to go. We have ideas and thoughts in our minds. I'm sure all of us, when you wake up each morning, you have an idea of how the day is going to go, don't you? For the most part, you have an idea and you have a plan of how you expect things to go. And a lot of times it doesn't take very much living to realize that it doesn't always go that way. In fact, you find there are a lot of other people out there with different, some of them competing agendas, and they cut across our path. And then you got to ask yourself, what are you going to do? How are you going to be? How are you going to act? Where's the peace of God? I think about that song. The chorus is, free and happy as a bird. Nothing can my peace disturb. And you know, this is, and again, that songwriter had gone through some things, and I think we all could testify that there are distinct times in our life where the presence of the Lord is so real. It's almost palatable. Like you could just reach out and just hug the Lord, and you feel like you're on the mountaintop and you can conquer anything, and literally nothing's going to bother you. But what does it look like on Tuesday rush hour traffic on the freeway in the dead of summer when it's hot and your AC isn't working? It's a little bit different, right? There's some things that have potential to disturb my peace. And I want to, by the help of the Lord, talk about that tonight, that part of that is the path to peace. We read on here a little bit further. It says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, there is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Right? And so you see here the psalm writer is telling us that there is not only a place of refuge, it's giving some language that's really alluding to the idea of war, right? In biblical Old Testament times, when rival folks would war against one another, you understand, their cities were a little bit different than ours. Their cities were built with major thick walls, and you stayed with it. Everything you needed was within the city, and it was rare that people went out just to hang out and be out of the city, because it was a danger. When you went out there, there were roving bands of men that would seek to plunder whatever it is that you had. And yeah, there were folks that traveled from city to city trading and buying and selling. But for the most part, you lived within your city and you would venture out maybe a little bit during the day and come back. Those city walls were a place of refuge. And so what they would do in that day and time, a rival army would come, and one of the strategies was to lay siege. And that was, they would surround you. So that when you looked out the wall, all you saw was your enemy all around you, right? And you can imagine, if you got no Walmart inside the city, which they didn't, and you've got none of those things, that it would be a matter of time. They would just, kind of a stranglehold. They'd sit around the city and just sit there and wait. And they'd wait you out until you starve, or you get thirsty and you're going to dry up and die. And then they just come in and take everything they wanted. But you notice what he said there? In verse 4, there is a river. There is a river. The stream whereof shall make glad the city of God. And this is what they would do. They would build their cities around a natural spring so that if they ever had someone to lay siege, they would have a source of inspiration regardless of what was going on around them. Okay, do you see where the Lord's going with this? As we're living life, He's our refuge. We're within Him. But there are things that want to lay siege in our lives, circumstances, situations that we find ourselves in. And as we're living life, the Lord hasn't just got us saved and just took us home. He left us here. right? And there's a couple of reasons for that. One of which is that we are learning to be more like Him so that we can be the proper roommate for all of eternity that He wants to have. The other part is that God wants to manifest His love and His power through your life and touch the lives of other people. And as we do those things and we engage in these experiences, we recognize that everything is not always going our way. Sometimes the Lord will allow things to touch your life, and sometimes the Lord will send things to touch your life, and sometimes the Lord will allow you to make decisions and you suffer the consequence thereof, right? And so what we see here, though, is that there is something that is afforded to us. And I want us to get a hold of this tonight, that there is a place of refuge within the Lord. There is an inspiration. That river is the source of life and inspiration. It is God Himself. And so we understand tonight that as we're living life and we're experiencing things, there may be areas of your life that are really calm and peaceful and settled, and you know it. But what about those areas where it's not free and happy as a bird? And nothing can my peace disturb. Where we have a hard time struggling to stay in those areas. You know, the Lord has something for us in those areas as well. There is an inspiration to us. And we have to understand tonight that it goes back to the source. That where we go back to the Lord and we recognize it is He that gives that peace and stills the storm and calms everything that is going on. But you know, what does it say here? We read on a little bit further. Verse 6, it says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, with what desolation He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then the truth of the wisdom. It says, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And as we read that, I have always enjoyed when it says the God of Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob was a supplanter. He was a conniver. He was the one that was out of pocket and did things according to his own intellect and his own maneuvering and manipulation. And God had to change his name and change his character. But you know, it says here, and it says in other places, that there is a blessing because the God of Jacob. Understand that there is a God that knows us, knows our frame, knows how we operate, knows how we function, knows that there are times when we're on that path to peace that we're trying to pursue things our own way. Well, let me ask you this. You ever read the Old Testament and consider the life of the Israelites and think to yourself, like a Monday morning quarterback, man, they sure were foolish. How in the world could they not get that? You walked through an ocean on dry ground. You saw the world's first aquarium. You went through on the other side. There's a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. There's food in the morning when you wake up. You just got to walk out and pick it up. And if that weren't enough, you go smack on the rock and there's some water for you. And if you get tired of that, you just ask the Lord. He sent some quail. All these different things, and then we read in just a few short chapters within a generation, and all of a sudden they're caught up in idolatry. Making golden calves and all these other kinds of things. They're quickly moving to their own thing. And I don't know, I imagine you're like me, I read these things and you just see this up and down and up and down. And you think, what's wrong with these folks? And then you realize, we're just like them. We're just like them. When we start to look at our own life and our own testimony of where's the peace. And we're talking all areas of our life, not just certain areas, right? You know, sometimes how do we deal with a lack of peace? You know, we got different strategies. I want to read a scripture here. It is found in Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and we want verse 37. Want us to get a hold of this idea that we're just like these people. And Jesus, when He was here on earth and He was looking at them, And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And so what we see here, and this is the thought that we want, is what's hindering us from having peace in these areas of our life where there's a struggle. You see, Jesus, when looking at these folks, looking at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Israelites, he came and his desire was to pull them in, to bring them into the flock and bring them into the fold, that they would be in that place of refuge that we just read about. And understand, the scripture says in Isaiah that he's what? The Prince of Peace, right? The government would be upon his shoulders and he would be the one that gives. And I want you to understand tonight that the Lord still desires to offer you and to me his peace in all areas of our life. Okay? I want to talk a little bit tonight, and I want us to consider on an individual basis. There, we can look in our own lives and we can see we've made peace with God. That's where it starts. Right? If, as the bumper sticker says, if you know Jesus, you know peace. If you have no Jesus, you have no peace. And so it begins, and we understand that it begins with an understanding of repentance and confession of sin and coming before God and making my soul right with God. Coming to Him and accepting the salvation that He offers. But then there is a peace that goes after that, where the Lord starts to deal with us on our own individual basis. As we walk, some of us have strongholds in different areas than other folks. Right? There's some things that, well, that's not a problem for me. And the Lord wants it this way, then I got no problem with that. And I can just go on my way, and people can say and do and whatever, and it doesn't bother me at all. But then there's those other areas. You know, the Lord's wanting to gather you under His wing in those areas too. But the word He said is this, and you would not. And the question you have to ask yourself is, why not? Why wouldn't I enter into His peace? Well, I think sometimes it's because we don't like the path to peace. Right? In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, there's the 27th verse. Jesus told us something that was very, very important. Right? When he was instructing his apostles, getting them ready for him to get out of here, he told them, he says in verse 27, the 14th chapter of John, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So what we see here in the idea and the concept on the path to peace, particularly in these areas where we got some struggles, and maybe they've been perpetual and historical, and you ask yourself, why not? Well, I feel like there's some reasons why we don't have peace in all areas of our lives. And I think sometimes it's because we will not go the way that the Lord has led to that path of peace. And so we start to deal with things. We develop these things called coping mechanisms. Right? You know, and everybody has different ones. I, for one, am very good at isolating something, putting it in a box, and setting it aside and having literally no feeling or thought about it. But you realize that's not the path to peace. While you don't, you know, it's out of mind and out of sight, and so you don't think about it, and you just continue on, and then you live life, and you never think about that kind of thing, you're going to find that God in His mercy is going to cook up the right kind of situation. He's going to bring the right person into your life, and they're going to kick that box over to where you're going to have to deal with it. Right? And this is what the Lord is talking about when He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Right? We're living in a crazy time. It's not just the United States of America. It's the world as a whole. But in the United States of America, it is a crazy time. It doesn't take very long to flip on the news, look and see the things that are going on, and we understand what it means when it says the heathen raged. And we understand what it means when we look at people who are very unrestful and out of, and no civility and no human kindness. There's no dignity in the things that people are saying and doing, and it's utterly ridiculous, and it would be... It leads us down a path to think that somehow this is just normal. But it's not the way of God's people. Right? And just because there is a majority of folks going that way doesn't mean that it's right. OK, Okay? When it comes to the peace that the Lord gives us, it doesn't matter if there is a majority or if we're in the minority. There is still a way that is right unto the Lord. And that is the way that He desires for us to go. And when it comes to having the peace of God in all areas of our lives, we have to learn to let go of our own ideas and our own ways and our own opinions, right? When Jesus was looking at the children of Israel and He says, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen doth gather. He says, but you would not. I was talking to Brother Henry, I think it was earlier today, about a friend of mine who says, I'm kind of like Nicodemus. I think, what a sad testimony. You want to be so close and miss it. You don't want to be so close and miss it. The Lord desires and He has so much to give us and He wants to bless us in those areas. And I think sometimes what we do is we take things into our own hands and our own intellect and our own way. And we say, Lord, if you'll go do this and then this and then this, then I'll be at peace. And we put those kinds of conditions. And I want to tell you tonight that as we do that, we're going to find that we're not going to find all the peace of God that He has to offer to us. I'll remind you tonight of different ones that have found that path of peace. You remember Jonah? Jonah was not interested in doing what God would have him to do, was he? And he ran the other way. But you see God in His mercy disturb his situation? God in His... And now some people would look at it and say, this is horrible. I mean, if you're Jonah and you're on the boat. I mean, let's think for a minute here. Put ourselves in Jonah's shoes, so to speak. And here you are. You're on this boat. And like, nah, I don't really like that nation over there. They're wicked. And there's so many different ways you can justify in your mind why it was okay to get on the boat and go the other way. They're wicked people. They regard not God nor His people. They've been mean. They've been rude. They've been all. They deserve the punishment that they're going to get. I'm not going to be the one to tell them to stop. And I'm just going to go the other way. And they can live with the consequence of the choices that they're making. It's very easy to justify. The same as it is for us in our own little areas. In our own, we need to be careful. We need to be careful and not be found like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that would not enter into that place of protection and refuge. But you saw that when Jonah went the way that he was going, God was merciful. And I want you to understand, this is part of that path to peace, that there are times in our own humanity, we look at the circumstance. We look at the people that are involved. We utilize our intellect based upon what we've learned and what our past experiences are. And we start to move and shake and make decisions and do things what we think is going to lead to the path of peace. And then we find that sometimes it's not working. I'm going to tell you, God will be merciful to pursue after you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help me to have my ear open unto you. Lord, help my heart to be ready to deal with your dealings of me. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes that the way that the Lord leads us to peace is going to be through some very difficult things. Okay? The only way Jonah was able to get to peace, he had to have been thrown overboard into the middle of the ocean. Think about that for a second. He had to have been thrown overboard. It's not the shallow end where you're like the shore's right there. They're out in the deep. I don't care how good of a swimmer you are, you're not going to make it. You're not in that good of shape. Nobody can swim that far. It seemed like there was no way he was going to make it. But with God, there's always a way. The Lord had preparation. This time it came in the form of a big fish. And let me ask you this. How many of you in here like seafood? Few of you? I don't. I don't care for it. You know, how many of you like seafood that's been sitting out for a couple days? Nobody? You don't like that smell? Do you realize that's what Jonah had to go through? To get to a place of peace? He had to sit in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Till the Lord had time to deal with him. And we read that and we skip over so fast and we get on to, well, now he's spit out on shore and he's talking to these folks in Nineveh and now he's got the plan, he's complaining. No, understand what it would have been like to sit in the belly of that fish. It's not a desirable situation. It's not a desirable circumstance. Do you understand what the allegory is? Those are written for our understanding that when it comes to the path of peace in our lives, sometimes we got to stop putting our hands. We got to stop trying to manipulate the situation and the people that are involved in it and leave it alone and let God do what God wants to do. And we need to be still and know that He is God and rest and trust, as they say, trust the process. Trust the path that the Lord has carved out. Too many times we get to see in a situation, in a circumstance, and in our own efforts, what we do is we start praying, Lord, cause this to go away, cause that to go away, make this come, and then I'm going to be at a place of peace. And the Lord said, no, I'm not taking any of it away. I'm not going to do any of those things. If you want peace, you don't dictate to me how it's going to happen. But rather, you sit and be still. And you know that I am God. You have confidence in me. You have confidence to walk the path that I trace for you to walk. And let me affect the situation the way I see fit. And it'll truly bring about the true peace of God that surpasses understanding. This is what Jesus was talking about when He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. You ever see, you ever understand that there's never been an end to marches for peace? And I'm not here to rail against any of those folks that are doing those things, but you understand most of them don't even know what it is, what peace is. Their thinking is, peace is when everybody does things the way I'm thinking. Problem is, if you interview all the people that are there for that march, they don't even agree amongst themselves. Right? But that's the whole idea of peace, is you'll stop doing what I think is bad and start doing what I think is right, therefore I'll be at peace. And that's not how it is with the Lord. The Lord will bring peace even though everything is raging and going on. There is still something within me. Remember when we read in Psalm 46, where's the river? It's in the midst. You understand? There is a calmness. There is a stillness. There is a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. It doesn't matter what goes on around me. It doesn't matter what seems like people are trying to take advantage of me and manipulate the situation and gain an upper hand on me. It doesn't matter. I don't have to fret. I don't have to fear. I don't have to engage in some kind of triage and block them and get into this mental chess match on how to handle the situation so that I can be at peace. I can just go to the Lord. I can just go to the Lord, and the Lord will always have a place of refuge for us in these things. I think about how sometimes the Lord brings it. I thought about Elijah. We read a little bit last night about him and the prophets of Baal. Do you realize after he had that tremendous victory, he went and found himself in a place of depression? Yes. In a place of depression, and the Lord sustained him there in that place. He gave him what he stood in need of, but then he said, in order for you to get that experience, because later on he got to hear the voice of the Lord. But you understand where he had to go to get it? He had to climb the mountain. Understand that when it comes to climbing mountains, those are no easy things. When it comes to the path of peace, sometimes we start to see and get a vision of what it is that the Lord would have us to do or how the Lord would handle the situation. We get a little vision, a little inspiration of it, and so we start to trust it and we start to go a little bit, but then things get difficult and we give up on it. We quit. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, I will gather you under my wings, but you would not. And sometimes when it comes to the path of peace, where God wants to bring this peace that we read about in Psalm 46, you can also read Psalm 91, which is another one, great psalm that talks about what God will do on our behalf. And so it's written to inspire our faith to trust God. But at the same time, we have to realize that as we're in the middle and we're living it, that we would trust the Lord and that we would go the way that He's leading. Even when things get difficult, I'll say it this way. When things get tough, you double down on the Lord. When things seem kind of low and it's not going the way you want, continue to trust in the Lord. Seek Him for greater comfort. Seek Him for greater faith. Seek Him for a clear understanding. We know the ways to go. The Lord doesn't cause us just go wherever. He causes us to know exactly where He wants us to go, how He wants us to go. When we think about those circumstances in our lives where things are maybe not as peaceful as we want, and when I say peaceful, I don't mean that everybody's doing what we think they ought to be doing. I'm talking about within here. Like, I'm okay. Me and the Lord have found a place of refuge. He's ministering to me. And while these things might be crazy and going sideways, I'm still okay. I'm not worried about it. I'm not fretting. I'm not contemplating in my own head, well, if this happens and that happens and this is going to happen and this is what I'll do and how I'll respond. I just lay it all down. That's what we're talking about. That's the peace of God that He desires to give us as His children. But we have to understand that sometimes the path to get there is not what we would desire. Right. Elijah, when he called for the drought, said he was commanded to go to the brook. And he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And again, it's really easy to read over this and not realize what's happening. You know what a raven is? It's a nasty bird. How many of you want to eat the food that a raven brings you? Again, we lose sight of this from time to time. But you understand, it's nasty. If it's carrying it in his mouth, it's kind of spitting that stuff back out. And then here you go, eat up. This is what you get to eat. But you understand, it says, the Lord commanded the ravens to sustain thee there. It's of the Lord. But when we look at it, we have our own ideas and expectations of what is acceptable and what isn't. I'm not eating that. Well, when you get hungry enough, you might. And you understand sometimes the Lord is trying to make you hungry enough when it comes to giving you peace in those areas of your life, and the Lord has a path and a way to go, and we start praying, and usually when we're praying, we're like, Lord, get rid of this, change that, and all these things. And a lot of times we're praying for things that aren't even in alignment with what the Lord is leading us to. Amen. This is what Paul meant when he says, you have not because you ask not because you ask amiss. To ask amiss is to not identify my prayer in unison with the will of God Himself. Right? But rather, when it comes to the path of peace, I unify my will with the Lord's leading. Lord, what do you want? I want your will in my life. That's where the peace comes from. And then it is that if we get in alignment with the Lord and we seek Him through prayer to know what His will is and to have the strength and the faith to follow it, then the peace will come regardless of what's happening around us. The circumstances don't need to change. Right? The waves don't need to calm down. The Lord is calmed within me. And I know that I'm okay. And I can be like Jesus was when He was with the apostles. They're out there looking at the waves and wondering if we're going to die. What was the Lord doing? He was just down there sleeping, enjoying. He had the best sleep of his life, probably. Why? How could He do that? Because He knew the Father. He knew He was okay. That's the kind of peace that the Lord gives us. Even though things are raging and going crazy, I don't have to be upset. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to worry. You know, there's a scripture that tells us this. It says, be anxious for nothing. Yes. I know in the King James it says careful, but that word in the Greek means anxious. Be careful for nothing, but by what?
Prayer.
Let all your requests be made known unto the Lord. And we sang that song the other night. Prayer is the golden key. It is what allows us to be able to unlock the door of peace in these various areas of our life. And I understand it's normal for you to have a lot of things in your life settled. And it's clear. And me and the Lord, we've got these things. There's nothing. But there are a few areas where the Lord is developing us and growing us and working us and causing us to be able to grow in our faith. Don't let the enemy discourage you and think, well, I got an area of no peace in my life. Well, I've lost it all. I might as well just give up or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what the Lord is doing. Understand, just as the children of Israel, when they conquered the Canaan land, the Lord didn't give them a whole land, did He? He gave them bit by bit, piece by piece. Again, it's a type and a shadow for us so that we understand how the Lord works and deals with us and grows us up. And there comes a time where there's an area of our life. Maybe we've dealt with it according to our own ways in times past. You know, we have pretty dynamic coping mechanisms. You know, those areas of your life sometimes it's just, that's a sore spot. Can't even talk about it. You bring up one word, it's triggering, right? And then all these thoughts start rushing in and you start feeling your blood pressure changing and your heart's beating and you're getting tense in your neck and you have all these kinds of feelings. Don't be discouraged. There is a peace that the Lord will give. Understand that when the Lord starts to bring, I'm confident God will deal with us as individuals, both tonight and in the days to follow. He will start to remind you of this message. And as you face a situation, He'll cook up the right situation and that it'll crop up. And the Lord's going to be like, I'm with you here. I can help you. And there is a way to go. And I want to encourage you that as you seek the Lord through prayer and you learn to be still and know that He is God, be careful how you pray. Be careful how you pray. Too many times we're like, Lord, get rid of this and don't do that and don't do this and I don't want it like this. You know what? The prophet Elijah didn't have that benefit, did he? He just had to eat whatever the raven brought him. He didn't have time to be grossed out by it. He didn't have time to complain. He didn't say, Lord, just, you know, show me how I can get to the 7-Eleven and come back. This is it. You got the raven. Whatever it brings you, you're just going to have to eat it. You're going to have to deal with it. And you know, when we read there, he never complained, did he? He learned a secret. He learned a secret. That I'll not complain. We sing that song, the Lord's way is best. I will not murmur. A murmur is not a very big complaint, is it? It's just a little. Again, just being still and trusting that God knows the way. He knows what is right. He is well capable of taking us from here to eternity. And He knows what He's doing along the way. And we need to understand that sometimes when it comes to the path of peace, it's going to come in a way that our flesh probably doesn't prefer. Sometimes it's going to be difficult, right? In order to get up to that mountain and hear the sweet voice of God, He had to climb the mountain. He had to go through some things. There was a responsibility that the Lord gave Him, but He didn't just decide on His own. He went by the commandment of the Lord. So it is that He sought the Lord for inspiration. And so it is for us when it comes to our lives and having peace in all those areas. We sing a song, it's number 75 in our hymnal, and it says, sweetly resting, right? In the rifted rock, I'll hide me till the storms of life are past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. You know, when it says heeding not the fiercest blast, that means that I'm in a place, it's almost like when you're in your home, and you got, and it's wintertime, you got a nice cozy fire, and you're sitting there, and you're enjoying your family, and just whatever, and you know, you hear something outside, you know, kind of shake a little bit, and you're like, nah, no big deal. We're just here. We're going to sip our little cider, have conversation, have a word of prayer, sing a song. We're not even thinking about what's going on out there, you know. But a lot of times, what do? What was that? And our curiosity starts to be activated. And then we wander out and we start doing those things. And we do the same thing spiritually. The enemy will cause booms and busts and all these different kinds of things to happen to try and draw out our curiosity. And we're like, Lord, I'll deal with you in a second. I'll listen to you in a second. I just need to go out here and get curious and see what this is. When the Lord says, just rest. Just be here. Just know that I'm working things out. Don't look at all the circumstance. Don't look at all the situation. Because we're human beings. We got intelligence, right? And we look at things and we think, well, if it's going to be good ending, then this and this and this and this has to happen. And so we kind of sit back and we pray a little bit and then we watch. What's happening? Is it moving the way that I think it is towards this place of peace? The Lord said, when I give you peace, it's not as men give it. It's not how you think sometimes. I'm sure Elijah, when he thought he was going to call a drought, never envisioned that he was going to have to eat the regurgitated food of a raven. Right. But that's the way the Lord chose. Yes. I think about him having to be sustained by a widow. There's something to that. As a man, right, you're going to rely upon a woman to take care of you financially? A widow woman at that? It does something to your pride. There's a lot of humility that has to happen. And understand that that's one of the keys to the peace of God reigning in our lives. That there is a humility to say, Lord, your way is best. I will not murmur. I don't have an opinion in this, Lord. I'm just going to give it to you. And I'm going to trust you to lead me. And what is hidden in all of this and what we're indicating at is that God is faithful to lead us as His children. He is a faithful God. He is the one that has sent His Spirit to cause us to hear, to see, to know, to understand what is the way and how are we to walk in it so that we can be found even as we're traveling that path, even though it might be difficult. It could be challenging. It could cut against the flesh. It can go completely contrary to your intellect. And you can still do it with dignity and honor and class in a way that honors and magnifies the name of God. I pray the Lord help each and every one of us tonight as we look and we contemplate and we consider. Are there areas of my life where I'm not free and happy as a bird? And there's a lot of things that do disturb my peace. May we find ourselves getting in contact with the Lord and seeking the Lord's direction and those specific areas of our lives that we can be found on His path to the peace that He's going to give, and we can trust that what He says is right. I appreciate your time tonight, and my hope and my prayer is the Lord would bless His word.